Today's message, the love of Christ will be manifested in our marriages. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you for the example you give us for our marriages, that as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church, that we're to love our spouses. Father, and that we are to submit to Christ, and in Christ, our marriages will grow in his love, and they will be all that you desire them to be. Father, I pray that both the husband and wife in our congregation will get out of the way and have your will done in their lives. And I know it's a moment-by-moment basis, day-by-day, but we know you are faithful even when we're not. And Father, we praise you for the instruction that you give us today, because you give us the enablement to do all things, including for wives to submit to their husbands and husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. So may we have our hearts prepared to hear this. May we apply it to our lives through the power of your Holy Spirit. And may you be glorified in all of this, just as you would desire, because there's a reason it's called holy matrimony. It's because it is a marriage made in heaven, as you have given to us, each other, as a husband and a wife, to fulfill the hope of your calling. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last few weeks we've been talking about imitating God. And since God is love, our lives will manifest Christ's love in all of our relationships, especially in our marriages. And the bottom line is if you can't love your spouse as God desires you to, how could you possibly love your neighbor? So the bottom line is God has given us our spouses to learn to love one another as Christ loved the church. Amen. Let's go ahead and read Ephesians 5:21 through 33. And we'll start with 5:21. It says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, this is not a popular message in the world today. And we know that the culture has become more and more ungodly each and every day, and in that, the marriages then have become likewise. So let's get back and recalibrate to what marriages are supposed to be and look at how God had designed it. So today, Christ's relationship with his body and his love for his bride is to be exemplified in our marriages. That's the bottom line. His love for us and his love for the church is to be exemplified in our marriages. God is love. We imitate Christ. We will therefore share his love with one another in this special relationship. For the wife, this means submission to her own husband, to her own husband as to the Lord, because God made man the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And a carnal woman, a fleshly woman, will outright reject this. For the husbands, much more responsibility comes with this headship role. This means love your wives just as Christ loved the church, not close to, not kind of like, but the word says, and you look it up in Greek, and it means just as Christ loved the church. And what did he do for the church? He gave up his life for her at the cross. What is a husband to do but to give up his life for his wife and for his family and to put them first? Under the submission to Christ, they will be first in his life and his number one ministry. His wife, his number one ministry, and the family, his number one purpose in life as unto God as well, as we submit to one another in the fear and reverence of God. The carnal man, the fleshly man, however, will love himself, neglect his wife, or just as bad, rule over her harshly as a dictator. And let's be clear. The love of Christ is unconditional. It's not that we're to love our spouses in this manner because they deserve it. Nobody deserves agape love. It's only because God first loved us that His Son died for us, and we have the agape love that is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We didn't deserve any of it, but He gave it to us because He first loved us. So don't think you're going to give it to your spouse because they earn it or deserve it, no more than you earned or deserved salvation or the love of God Himself. Because when we still hated Him, Christ died for us. That's unconditional love. And God has poured out His love in our hearts the moment we were saved. And His love proves that we're His, just as it says in Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When was love poured out in our hearts? The moment we have the Holy Spirit come and live in us. Because God now lives in us. If God is love, what now resides in us? His love. What we need to do is learn to surrender to that and to share it and have that become our nature and not carnality, our own will and desires. So, the hope we have for our marriages is the hope of His calling for our lives, as He has joined us together in holy matrimony, as He knew as a husband and wife that we would need each other to get through this life as He desired, and that's His plan for us. The hope of His calling for our lives, if you have a spouse, is for you to be joined in a godly marriage and witnessing being one in Christ together, and that you need each other. God knew it, and that's why He gave you one another to get through this life in Him, to help one another, to cherish one another, to encourage one another, and yes, to provide and all the things that were going to be necessary in this world, because we are in the world, even though we're not of the world. In this regard, we've become one in a very special way, joined together, mind, body, and soul. A husband and wife in Christ have the mind of Christ. They're in one spirit, the Spirit of Christ. And now the Word in this text says we've been joined together as one flesh. So mind, body, and soul, we're one. One as husband and wife as well as one in Christ. This was done for an important reason. So that we would grow together in Him. Committed to Jesus. A life of victory enabled. Love. And that same commitment to one another. A life of victory enabled to support, love, and cherish one another. Just as Christ's relationship with the church, with His bride. He never gives up on the church. He never stops supporting the church. No matter how far we may stumble or drift away, or how many mistakes we make collectively as the church. Look at the church over history. It's an abomination to some degree as you look at the sins that were committed in the name of the church. Did He ever give up on it? Ever give up on His bride? Absolutely not. What does He do? He cleanses her and washes her with the water of the Word. Yes, His blood has purified us, but He continues to cleanse us and to wash us with the Word. Marriage is like a relationship, Christ's relationship with His bride. And this is the model for our Christian marriage. And this relationship transcends all other human relationships. A husband and wife relationship transcends all other relationships, including a parent to a child. Because it first took the husband and wife joined together in one flesh to create that life. May we not forget that. And as the family grows, may we keep that in perspective and provide time to maintain our marriages as God would desire us to. You know, men are really good at maintaining things. Well, this is something we need to focus on. Amen? Praise God. So, our application. This is our responsibility under grace. In regards to this special relationship given to us, and it's all about giving Christ's love to others. And by God's design for the family, this must be practiced first and foremost with our spouse before it can truly be given to anyone else. So that's what we're going to look at this week, our marriage relationship. And then next week, we're going to look at the love of Christ will be manifested in all of our other relationships, including as parents and as workers and other relationships. So that's a kind of a detailed overview, but I wanted to put people's mind at ease about, you know, these words about submitting and these types of things, because it's all by God's design. If we'll just surrender and do it, God promises we'll have a fruitful relationship in our marriage because we'll have a fruitful relationship in Christ. Hallelujah. All right, so let's go ahead and do our verse-by-verse study. We're going to look at verses 21 through 24 first. And the question is, do our marriages look more like the curse or the love of Christ? This is the question we need to ask ourselves on a daily basis, as our submission to Christ will be manifested in our relationship with others, especially our spouses. Let me repeat that. Our submission to Christ is what's reflected in our relationship with others. It's not that there's a problem with other people. There's a problem between you and Christ if your relationships are broken. Because if you're in Christ, your relationship will be healed as you are living and doing all you can do, and you will forgive others as you have been forgiven, and there will not be conflict. There will not be bitterness. There will not be anger. There won't be shutting one another out. It'll be working in common relationship to fulfill all God has for you as a husband and wife. In other words, are we submitting to one another out of reverence for Jesus Christ, as it says in verse 21? Submitting to one another, starting with our wives. As enabled by the fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Everything else follows after that. All the other fruit of the Spirit, if you will. An outcropping of love, so to speak. Or is our flesh rearing up and saying, I ain't submitting to them. I know they're not worthy. Well, there's none of us worthy. And if it is the latter, then it's a dead giveaway that you're still in your grave clothes. If you don't think your wife or your husband is worthy of agape love, praise Jesus that He can heal that relationship and get your mind off of yourself and on Him. Because in Him, we are worthy. And only in Him are we worthy. Who is the worthy one? Jesus Himself. You're still in your grave clothes, as the flesh is a product of the curse given at the fall. And it was given to both men and women. Let's look at the curse given first to the women. Genesis 3:16. Let's turn there. And I start with the women first because Paul started with the women first. I guess that's where that adage come from. Women first. All right? Ladies first. So Genesis 3:16, it says, to the woman he said, this is God, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, at first glance, this appears not only are women going to have to bear the pain of childbirth, but also the pain of having a husband too. It's like, wow, you mean all I'm going to do is I'm going to desire my husband and he's going to rule over me. What kind of a deal is this? Doesn't sound very fair, does it? Well, don't think poor wives. Let's look at it in the New Living Translation because it gives us a better illumination of 3:16 Genesis. And it says in New Living Translation, then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. Where does the conflict in marriages begin? Those two places. The wives wanting to control the husband, and the husband desiring to rule over her. That's where the conflict begins, and it can happen with finances. It can happen with rearing the kids. It can happen at breakfast. It can happen all kinds of times. Right? But it starts with the woman wanting to control the husband and the husband desiring to rule over her. But it's by nature. It's the carnal nature. That's the curse of the flesh for a woman. And that's what a carnal wife will do. She will want to control her husband. But under holy matrimony, which is only in Christ, she'll have his agape love and desire to surrender to Christ by submitting to her husband. Submitting to her husband. She'll desire to serve Christ, to surrender to Christ. And in that regard, she will submit to her husband. Now, men, submission is to be a voluntary act and not a forced or coerced response to a dictator, but as unto the Lord. You don't force somebody to come to the Lord. You don't have to force your wives to bow to you as you're like the dictator. But it is something in her heart that she will desire to do because of the love of Christ. For Christ's sake. What is Christ's sake? It's not a curse word. It's because we love Him. Because she loves Christ, she will surrender and submit to you. And the world looks at it differently. The world's submission dictates, you must submit to me. So here are my demands. Now do them, and do them right. Godly submission, on the other hand, conveys, you are to submit to me so I can be held accountable for your welfare at the bema seat of Christ. And you'll be blessed for submitting as to the Lord, whether I'm right or wrong. What grace God has given women. Whether or not the family is headed in the right direction or not, who's going to be held accountable for it? Not you women. The head of the household, the husband is. At the bema seat of Christ, he will be held responsible for that. At the bema seat of Christ, what will the wives be held responsible for? Accountable for? Did you submit to your husband, whether right or wrong? What grace God has given. Also, Jesus is Lord. You've heard me say this many times. But He never lords over us or forces us to do anything. In His love, we just obey. That's what it means, as unto the Lord. He doesn't force us to do anything. We do it because we love Him. So wives will love their husbands and obey their husbands because they desire to love and obey Jesus Christ. Now, this also helps put in context verse 22. What Paul is saying here with respect to Ephesians, basically he's saying, wives, take off your grave clothes, put on your grace clothes, because you're covered by the grace of God, whether he's right or wrong. We just went over that. Submit to your husband as to the Lord. Not because your husband deserves it, but because you love Jesus and he deserves it. You're doing it because Jesus deserves your submission to your husband. That's your surrender. That's dying to yourself. You can look at it as like submission being two words. This is your sub or underlying mission, submission, as a godly woman in service to Jesus Christ. And that's what it means, as unto the Lord, or as to the Lord. And you know, just to clarify something, as to the Lord has two major wrong interpretations associated with it as well. So let me just give you some clarity on those. Basically, we're saying that the wife will submit of her own free will because she loves God and desires to please Jesus, and she's going to submit to her husband. Now, what's the two wrong interpretations of as unto the Lord? As to the Lord does not define the extent of the wife's submission to her husband. Meaning that the husband is not to be followed like Christ. You submit completely to God, so therefore you must submit completely to me. Only God commands this type of submission. That's called worship. Only God is to be worshipped. Otherwise, it's idolatry. She's not to worship you. She's to worship Christ, and in that worship of Christ, surrender and submit to you. Nor does it define its limits. I'll submit to my husband when I think he's following Christ. as if it's her submission, to determine what God wants for the family. And then she'll support her husband only when he's right, and when she has become like-minded with him, but not until then. So those are two ends of the spectrum. No, wives, you don't go with your husband when you think you're like-minded with him and only then. It says submit. Submit is like when you don't want to, you do it. Surrender is, hey, I give up. Submission is you do it even though you may not want to. You're doing it because you love God and you're going to do it, whether you think it's right or wrong. It's not for you to determine, like the head of the family, what's right or wrong. God is going to give you the grace to move forward with what your husband decides. Now, I'm not saying that these decisions are to be made in a vacuum either. God has given us our wives as a helper. I have learned so much from my wife. When I stop talking and listen to her, it's amazing what she says. And sometimes I don't listen right away because I've still got that inside voice going, well, when she ever stops talking, this is what I'm going to say. But you know, when I step back and think about it, it's like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. Let's pray about it. Because whose lordship are we under? God's, Jesus Christ. Every morning I desire, not that it happens to everybody, but most mornings me and my wife have a morning devotional. We may or may not read the word, though we desire to most of the time. But it's literally just getting together and talking about things and praying about what's going on and seeking God's will for our life. And if I've made a decision and she's uncomfortable with it, talking about it. Looking at what's going on, and then the bottom line is moving forward as the Lord would lead me in it. I don't know if you ever had a boss. I think most of us have. In the military, it was a lot like the FAA. Most of you know I was in it 36 years. That even as a GS-15, I had other GS-15s that were over me. And the bottom line was, is I would give my input to my boss, because I knew he deserved it. He needed to have full perspective of all the situation and what my interpretation of it was. But when the decision was made, I didn't argue. I got in line, and we figured out how to make it happen as I supported his or her decision with my whole being. Whether I liked it or not, or thought it was right or wrong, as God would allow me to, as I do service unto the Lord, we're going to make it work. Or if it didn't, it wasn't because I tried to undermine it. That's the way a relationship with a wife to a husband is to be. Two fallacies. As to the Lord does not define the extent of the wife's submission, as she's to worship her husband and obey thoughtlessly without seeking the Lord and worship him like Christ. Nor is it to define the limits of what a wife is to do and only support him when she thinks he's doing the right thing. And you know, Peter debunks that second one, as he even says, when a husband isn't following the word, when a husband isn't a believer, she is to submit to him. 1 Peter 3:1 through 2 says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by conduct of their wives. One to Christ. One, W-O-N, not one, but one to Christ by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, or accompanied by reverence of God in Christ. Not fear of him, but reverence to God in Christ. So, women, if you're unequally yoked, your husband's not a believer, submit to him as unto the Lord, and in reverence and fear of Christ and in prayer, seek his face, and be that powerful witness that he desires you to be. It will change his life. The word says so. May change his life. Of course, it's not going to override his free will, but it'll certainly be that most powerful example there in his own life. Now, verse 23 goes on to explain this more. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Paul ties this marriage relationship back to Christ and his body, the church, which is his bride. As he has redeemed us to be such with him. He has redeemed us to be his bride, his betrothed. He died for us so that we would be His body, His church, His betrothed. And He gave up His life for the church as its Savior. In holy matrimony, the marriage is established under Christ within the church. And by His design, the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head over His bride. And though He is not her Savior, in a very real sense, the husband is to give up his life for her. Headship in this regard means that you will surrender your life and give it to your wife and to your family, as that is your primary purpose as a husband, as a provider for the family. And we're going to see it's not just as a provider for physical, but spiritual and mental well-being as well. Big role and responsibility, which we're going to get into in just a few minutes as far as husbands are concerned. Verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Now again, in everything has limitations too. The husband is not to lead a wife into sin, and you'd pray about that. Maybe once you go rob a bank or forge checks or something like that, you're not to do that. I mean, God's going to guide you and lead you in that area. But as far as anything that has to do with your spiritual, your mental, and your physical relationship, you're to submit to Him in love as unto the Lord. And Christ's love, then, is the model for our marriages in this as well. Paul's using Christ as an example. You want to talk about submission? Look at Christ. Though equal with God, He submitted to the Father in sonship, became flesh, died to Himself, even unto the cross, despising the shame, it says. He didn't want it. Asked God to take the cup from Him. But not my will, Your will be done. So too, a wife is equal to her husband in God's sight, as well as in the man's sight. But she chooses to die to herself and surrender to Christ with regards to the authority given to her husband by God. It's not that you're unequal as wives. You have a different role and responsibility. The family is set up as like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, the husband. Son, the children. Holy Spirit is the lover and nurturer of the family. Holy Spirit pours out the love. What's that represent in the family? The wife. The nurturer. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, our nurturer, our encourager. Not that husbands can't be some of those things, but that's not what we're designed mainly to do. That's what the wives are designed to do in the family. Children are to obey. And we're going to get into that next week because I got a lot to say about that too. Now that my children are grown. Praise God. But the bottom line is, it's surrender. Surrender to the authority given to the husband. Now, I know you women all been waiting for this. The curse of the flesh for the men. Because this is where we really get into the responsibility. What's the curse of the flesh for men? We're to work all the time. That's the bottom line. We just work all the time. Let's go ahead and look at Genesis 3:17 through 19. As you're turning there, I'll go ahead and review verse 25 for you. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. This is a picture of Christ as Savior, dying to self and redeeming His bride, as we already talked about, the church. Men, we must redeem our time and make our wives our number one ministry. With that same sacrificial love Christ loved the church with. Our wives should be our number one ministry as far as human relationships. Ministry deals with human relationships. Our number one ministry should be to our wives. That doesn't mean instead of Christ, no. He is the authority and the enablement and the empowerment by which we're going to do this. Because we are saved. She's to be our number one ministry. And Christ demonstrated this as He gave Himself in that sacrificial love for His bride. Time and time again, Paul goes back and refers to Christ's relationship with His bride. And that's to be our example as men and as women too. Now, why did God have to tell us to love our wives, but He didn't have to tell our wives to love their husbands? Right? He didn't have to say that. Right? He didn't say, oh, wives, love your husbands. Well, no. It's a different curse of the flesh. He said, you're going to desire your husband. You're going to love your husband. Think of it as part of the curse. That's all part of it. Right? You're going to love your husband. You don't know why. You're just going to, right? Because that's how it's designed. Praise God for that. Because if it was up to earning it, we'd all be single. Or us guys anyway, you know. I speak for myself, right? Because I'm preaching to myself here. But the bottom line is, it's a different curse. Women are by nature lovers and nurturers, just as we talked about. What are men? It's already said. Men are workers and rulers by nature. You think we like being this way? Yeah, because that's how the Lord made us. I mean, we don't know anything different. Right? That's us. That's the carnal. If we're just left to our own devices, we're workers and rulers. We want to be in charge of something, whether we break it or not. Right? Whether it works or it doesn't. We want to be in charge of it. I can't help it. Whether I know what I'm doing or not. Oh, let me take charge. That's where leadership comes in. You got to know when to get back and let somebody else lead, right? And that's a hard lesson for some of us. But I digress. So anyway, that's how God has wired us. And how do I know that? Because the curse, as we're going to look at here in just a minute, in the womb, it's a proven fact that testosterone kicks in at some month. It's about, I don't know, fourth month or something like that, and it literally eats half our brain. Testosterone comes in and just take all these multi-connections and make it single-minded. That's it. You're going to think one way, and this is it. Testosterone does it. Single-minded in purpose. Why would God want somebody single-minded in purpose to be head of the family? Because if his focus is on Christ, guess where the family's going? I'm going to take that hill, and it's Calvary. Amen? Not going to be all this, okay, forget the distractions. This is where we're headed. Now, come on. And that's how God designed it to be. Not that it's better. It's different as by design. That's how it was intended to be. But let's read about the curse here. It says in Genesis 3:17 through 19. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, you have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil, work, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. But thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall, does that mean it's going to be easy work? No, it's going to be hard work. Thorns and thistles, you're going to have to work it out of the soil. It's not going to be easy. It's not meant to be easy. It's a curse. And you shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And I got to tell you, my wife's biggest complaint, even when I was a drunk, over our entire marriage was, you work too much. Well, exactly. That's how God wired me. Now, that doesn't mean people can't try to work harder to get out of work, but you'll see they'll try to work some way. And by design, that's man's nature, to earn his keep and his family's bread by the sweat of the brow. How many men in here love to sweat? I do, man. I ain't nothing but I'll be out there sweating, man. I just feel so good. My wife said, ooh, ick. Come here, honey. That's why I want to hug her, right? No, get back, you know. But that sweat, it just feels good. It's like, yeah, this is what I'm meant to do. Of course, now the older I get, it seems like I hurt something every time I start doing that. But anyway, that's what God has given us. We're to earn the family's bread by the sweat of our brow. For how long? We get a retirement? Until we return to the ground. That's how long we're supposed to sweat and toil. I mean, that ain't my idea. This is right here. For dust we are, to dust we will return. Now that's a curse. That's why it's called a curse. It's not meant to be something, you know, good from the standpoint of, oh, easy. But it is meant to fulfill who we are made to be. Then, just to make sure we're completely wore out, what does God do? He gives us the responsibility to rule over our wives in the spare time. It's like, wow, like we ain't got enough to do already. I mean, she or she is, she's already wanting to control me, right? I got everybody at work wanting to control me. I got everybody after me. Then I come home and now I got to try to rule over my wife. Huh? How's that going for you guys so far? Well, I'm sure it's going fine here. In our church. Because we have such godly families. Amen. Well, we're praying to have godly families, so we know it's going to go better because we're going to learn from our mistakes, just as I do. My wife, you know, I can just see her when I go home. She hasn't said it yet. She goes, I bet you, she says, when are you going to practice what you preach? Starting right now. Starting today. Believe me, I was convicted by this, as I always am. Yes, dear. You controlling me? Praise God. Where was I? So, in our spare time. But you know your wives love you when they keep giving you the to-do list, right? The honey-do list. And the longer it gets, the more she loves you, because you know the longer she wants you to stick around. Because you can't possibly get this stuff done in one lifetime. You know, I'll never understand my wife completely. My wife says, oh, you work too much. Take off some time and stay home with me. And then I get home, what's she do? Gives me work to do. So it isn't really she worried about or concerned about me working too hard. It's who I'm working for. If I'm working for her, it's a blessing. If I'm feathering the nest, it's an awesome thing. But you know what? I love doing it because that's how we're wired. That's what we love to do. And if we're pleased in our wives, glory to God. Amen? Amen. So, husbands, we're told to keep this precious gift, our wife, in the proper perspective. And it is only the love of Christ that can do that. We don't even know. None of us know what real love is until we come to God in Christ and He pours out His agape in our heart. We don't even know what it is. It's an emotion. It's erotica. It's a stargate, the love you have for your children. But it's that agape love, that commitment, that love of victory, life of victory enabled in Christ, that commitment for one another. Not just as an emotion, but as your calling, the hope of the calling that God has given you for your life. To do for them as God desires you to, whether it's the wife or the husband. That's when it's revealed how special our wives truly are to us as men. And how we are to die to ourselves, just as Christ submitted His life to the cross for His bride. And dying once is a noble thing to do as a godly man. But it ain't that easy for husbands. We gotta die daily. That's what marriage is all about. Dying daily. Putting your spouse first over yourself. That goes against man's carnal nature. It's how we're wired. We want to rule. We don't want to be told what to do or subjected to what we have to do. But in the love of Christ, we will surrender and submit to our wives in love as God and our Lord Jesus would lead us and guide us and enable us to do and provide provisions to do. That's what a marriage is all about. And as the head of the household, men, it starts with us. It's what headship, leadership means. The buck stops here with us, so to speak. That's why Paul had a lot to say, so much more to us men, as we're given the authority. And with authority comes godly responsibility, response to the love of God and the ability He's given us. And this is all under grace. The New Testament is all written under grace. It's not something that you ignore. Oh, well, grace covers it. No, it's something you do under grace. It's given the power of the Spirit of grace to do in the love of God. So love your wife sacrificially, always putting her first over yourself, just as Jesus did for His beloved church, which is His number one ministry, because it says He constantly intercedes for us. That's His number one ministry, is His bride. Verse 26, Christ sanctifies and cleanses His bride with the washing of the Word, that He might present her to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or anything like that. Verse 27, as His beloved is to be holy and without blemish, so likewise husbands ought to love their wives as they are their own bodies. If you look at the semantics in Greek, the syntax in Greek, it would be more correct to say, as they are their own body, in verse 28. That's what it goes on to explain. Our wives are our own body. Treat them like that. Just as Jesus loves His body, His bride. And holy matrimony has sanctified our wives as our soulmates in Christ to us. And I use that term soulmate as a colloquialism. And it's like, you know, I've read online where, oh, well, we're not soulmates. You know, well, if we are joined in one mind with Christ, one spirit with Christ, and now we're made one flesh, and that we are to grow together in Christ, to me, I can think of no better colloquialism to use than soulmate. So if it's theologically wrong, forgive me, but I think it describes what we are, because what are we doing but growing together in Christ and preparing for eternity together as God has assigned us to do with one another? So I use the term soulmate. She has been set apart by God and given to you and only to you as your wife. That's sanctified, set apart. May you care for her as you would yourself. May you wash her in the Word as you would yourself. May that remove any spots that are visible on the outside and any wrinkles caused by deterioration or rot on the inside. And as you're ministering to someone else, guess what's revealed? As you're washing somebody else in the Word, spots and wrinkles are going to be shown in you and on you, and that'll be washed as well. That's why I recommend highly that husband and wives has a time set aside at the beginning of each day to start the day in Christ together. And your day as a husband and wife will be blessed. Doesn't mean it ain't going to be without troubles. But you'll know where your help comes from and who's there to support you, your husband or your wife. May we also treat our wives as the holy saints that they are, honoring them as our beloved and not demean them in any way. So our wives are to be under our spiritual care as well as our physical care, just like our own bodies. This will only add to her growth. It's not meant to be instead of her own personal growth. Our relationship with our wives by washing her in the Word is to be in addition to whatever she's doing on her own, just as our own devotion is to be done. But together we come as husband and wife and have a study time, a prayer time, a discussion time in Christ. Marriages that grow in Christ together, the Word promises, will stay together. He who loves his wife loves himself, not in a fleshly way, but in a spiritual way as Christ loves his church. And if you don't like how she is, men, husbands, blame yourself. Because the Word says in 1 Corinthians 11:7, a woman is the glory of a man. What is glory but the manifestation or reflection of who is being glorified? So literally, if you don't like what your wife is, it's because she's reflecting who you are. That's how God designed it. Wives become like their husbands. That's what the Word says. They take His name, they give His children, and they become like their husbands. That's by design. Not what the culture would say, but by God's design and how He created it to be. So like I said, soulmate, she literally ends up being like you. And who are you to be like? Who are you to imitate? Christ. So if you are a godly man and the husband you're meant to be, you will be imitating Christ and so will she. Because Paul says, imitate those who imitate Christ. For no one ever hated his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does His own body, the church. In verse 29, by His Spirit we're enabled to do this for His glory. For we are members of His earthly body. Remember over the last couple of weeks, I said we're literally His earthly body. And I've seen some blank stares on your faces. Well, right here it says that we are His flesh and His bones. We are His earthly body here. May we live our lives as that. And in His body, as member of His body, with Christ as our head. May we keep our role as husband and wives in the right perspective. And submit to one another as unto the Lord. In the fear and reverence, fear being reverence, that we have for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You. We love You. We adore You. Thank You for this message. I pray that it is an encouragement. You know, this isn't a chastisement. This is a leading. This is direction. This is encouragement to do what we're supposed to do. And You make it so easy. For a wife, it's one thing. Surrender and submit. Surrender to Christ and submit to her husband as unto the Lord. For the husband, love his wife as Christ loved the church, die daily to himself, just as the Word says, we're to pick up our cross, die to ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus each day. Well, what will the proof of that be? How we're dying to ourselves and putting our wives first as our number one ministry. Father, help us in that. As men, we have a great responsibility in this. May you keep our minds on the author and finisher of our faith and focused on that purpose in our lives as you've given us these precious gifts, our wives and our families. Thank you, Father. May your will be done and not our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.